This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profiles. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I am your host for the first hour. In this first hour, we are going to focus a fair bit on the metal sector, but we're also going to get a couple comments at the tail end of the show on a more general basis, trying to understand just where money is flowing. To kick off this show, I am chatting with Jeff Christian. He is the managing partner over at CPM Group. And Jeff, one thing that I know a lot of people are asking you, and you even said after this trip pretty much around the world that you went on, talking to a lot of large investors and different funds, that there's a lot at play for the precious metals right now. What are some of the key factors that you are outlining to the groups that you consult for?
Well, I think one of the big things that we've always done is we talk about the economy and the financial markets, interest rates and the dollar. There are a lot of people talking about potential economic weakness and a recession in 2019, falling interest rates, falling dollar. And we're not necessarily sure that that's what you're going to see. I think that there's, obviously a pause in the Fed's rate increases, but I think I wouldn't be surprised to see the Fed raise interest rates in the second half of the year, depending on where the economy goes. I think the economy in the United States and many other countries will probably continue to be stronger than people expect, the same way it was last year. So we've been spending a lot of time talking about, what the Fed's policies seem to be, where the interest rates seem to be going, whether the dollar is going to rise or fall, what's going on with the stock market. Brexit is obviously very important, as are various issues and problems in the U.S. government. So we've been spending a lot of time talking about these sort of macroeconomic factors, because that's really what drives investors into or not into gold and to some extent silver. Also, the fundamentals are changing. I mean, platinum is looking tighter. The palladium market is very high. Silver market fundamentals are pretty weak right now and need to have some attention paid to them. So we're finding institutional investors and high net worth individuals who want to sort of review the fundamentals and also review the economics and also understand really where the markets are and how they're operating these days, because there have been some big structural changes over the last decade in financial markets and in commodity markets in terms of the number of participants involved and how they buy and sell metals. So we're doing a lot of that kind of discussion, and then there's obviously the discussion about where we think the prices are going.
All right, Jeff, I want to first revisit that one comment that you made, that you think economies might be stronger than expected. And last year we had that one driver that can be attributed to the tax cuts, plus we had just more money flowing into the U.S. because you could make the argument that other economies around the world were weak. Do you see any certain drivers to the economies this year that can help keep them stronger?
Yeah, well, obviously we're not going to see the tax cuts. But I do think that the U.S. economy, for all of its perceived weaknesses on the horizon, it's still relatively strong. And what we saw last year was in the first quarter of last year, a lot of people moved into gold, and gold prices got up to about $1,380, based on the view that the economies were weak and, there could be a recession in the United States and the stock market could fall. And, the stock market did fall in the last 4 months of the year, but it rose to new highs in the first 8 months of the year. So I see a similar pattern. Obviously, we don't have the tax cuts, but there is, for all of the signs that the economy is reaching mature stages, demand is still relatively strong in many sectors. Housing's showing problems, but the housing market continues to plug away. autos are a little bit weak, but they're not as weak as some people thought they would be a month or two ago. So we see the economy kind of topping out or moving toward a top this year, but not necessarily falling sharply or going into recession mode. And I think that that sort of sets up the precious metals markets for a pattern somewhat similar to last year, where you saw the price, you know, surge in the early, in the first quarter of the year on economic concerns. And then when the economy didn't, wasn't as weak as people thought, they sort of backed away. And I think that that could happen in the second quarter. Then in the second half of the year, I think we might start seeing some more issues related to the stock market, and that could actually help support gold. So, you know, we're looking for the price to rise modestly this year, but not run away.
Okay. Hey, Jeff, I share a lot of those same insights with you, especially as we grind through this year, and very much it sounds like continue to build this base for the metals. But you did also mention these big structural changes that have happened within the markets in terms of different investors maybe showing some interest and where money has been flowing. Can you share a few more insights on these structural changes, please?
Sure. Well, one of the things we've watched for the last couple of years was in 2017 and early 2018, you saw a lot of traditional gold and silver investors backing away from the market, people who were buying gold and silver because they expected a financial collapse. And in some cases, they were just saying, no, it's not happening. In some cases, they were dying and their heirs were selling their precious metals. But even as that was occurring, you saw generalist investor funds becoming more interested in gold and silver in 2017 and the first half of 2018. And what happened in the second half of 2018 is those kind of guys kind of backed away from the market. So you've seen a shift in who's interested in buying and selling gold and silver, both in the ETFs and futures and physicals. And then you've also had this big decline. We've been doing some research on the futures markets and the OTC markets, and you've had a big decline in the number of commodity trade advisory firms, commodity pool operators, and hedge funds that actually get involved in precious metals as futures or options or forwards or OTC trades. And of the companies that still say that they're involved in precious metals in those paper markets, the vast majority of them seem to be technically driven as opposed to macroeconomically or fundamentally driven. So they're really just looking at price momentum, and they're buying when the price is rising and selling when the price is falling.
Is that the situation that we're in right now, though, is that so many traders are technical traders, and without any sort of a breakout in the precious metals, it's hard to expect a lot of these guys to all of a sudden come into the sector? It's really a story of the gold bugs, your standard gold bugs, kind of dying off, unfortunately.
Yeah, the standard gold bugs are dying off to some extent. There are new ones coming into the market. And, you know, governments around the world work very hard to create new gold bugs by giving us all kinds of reasons to be worried in the long run. So I think that that'll be there. But you've got a lot of other people who are more opportunistic, and they will not be involved in precious metals for 20 years. But then when the price starts rising, they'll rush in, and they're experts. You know, and then when the price starts falling, they rush out and they forget about it for 20 years. And I think that that is a pattern that we've seen repeatedly over the last 30 years. It probably is going to continue. But I'll say this, it's not just gold. I mean, you're seeing this kind of pattern of more algorithmic trading across financial markets. There's a far less intellectual content in fund management than there used to be. And it's not just gold. It's really across assets.
All right, Jeff, we are out of time for this first segment, but I am bringing you back on in the second segment, and we're going to dive a little bit more into some of the mergers in the top end of the companies in gold that we have seen and what opportunities that provides for investors. Everybody stick around. I'm going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DB Design right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course. Sunny Bay heating pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice, and it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com, or call us 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99, and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your longevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, I am back with Jeff Christian, managing partner at the CPM Group. Jeff, I want to get into a trend that we have seen just in the last about 6 months in the precious metals sector, and that is a consolidation at the top end of the pyramid of some of the largest mining companies in the world, and they sound like they are working through their projects and their operations. How have you been telling the people that you've been talking to about the impacts on the market and even some of the opportunities that will become available?
Well, we've cautioned our clients for years that, you know, a lot of the gold, the large gold mining companies, they're not geared up for growth. They're struggling to replace their reserves year in, year out, and they're not particularly attractive to investors. And that, you know, we've always said that our clients should look for companies that generate good profits, and not measure success in terms of the number of ounces you have, but rather, you know, the dollars of profit that you have. And what we're seeing is that some of the big gold mining companies are not doing that. They're continuing to try to get more ounces, even if it doesn't mean more profits. And as a result, you've seen a couple big mega mergers announced late last year and early this year. And those mergers, when you get those two large companies put together, there are any number of attractive smaller deposits that they have that they might be looking at to develop that they will now slough off and look to sell because they just make even less sense for an ever larger company. So one of the trends that we're seeing is, you know, mid-tier and smaller mining companies and institutional investors and entrepreneurially oriented investors starting to look at the portfolio of undeveloped properties that these guys have, and in some cases developed properties, and say, well, what's available for purchase here and how do I go about it? And, you know, okay, obviously the mining company is going to want to run an auction process to get the best possible price. But can I approach these people before they start the auction process and say, hey, let's talk about ways that we might, you know, buy the XYZ property off of you. So I think that the attitude that we're seeing in the industry and among larger investors is, what are the opportunities here to pick up stuff that these newly larger companies might not want?
Yeah, I share those same optimistic thoughts that there are some properties that these large guys just will not pay attention to, and they will offload. But if we drive down even further into some of the juniors and exploration companies, it was a trend that we saw throughout this bottoming process, and that is really the major funding coming from some of these large companies taking equity positions in these exploration companies. Do you think that the majors will still be looking at doing this while they're trying to sort out their operations, or will this now fall on some of the mid-tiers or some of these royalty and streaming companies?
I think the majors will do a little bit of it. I think they'll do less than they have been doing. It's going to fall more on the mid-tiers and the streamers, as you say. And it's probably also you'll probably also see some of these mid-tiers now become targets for acquisitions as these guys look to build their reserves because they're in even more dire condition of needing to have additional reserves to replace the reserves they're mining every year as they get larger and larger.
Okay. And you know what? One thing that you even said, it's what investors would like to see more of is these major companies start to run their companies like profitable companies, not just adding these ounces to their balance sheet. But during your trips around the world and with the different groups that you met with, would you say that there are new groups starting to pay attention to the metal sector for whatever reason it might be?
We saw that trend, as I said, we saw that trend emerging in 2017 and early 2018, and there was a backing away in the second half of 2018. There are some groups that we're talking to that are new as investors in the sector, but it's probably, you know, I think the price weakness that we saw in gold and silver in the last three quarters of last year has sort of caused a lot of those guys to pause in their enthusiasm toward moving into the market. And, you know, we're trying to help them realize that this is a good time to buy. You know, one of the themes that we're working with our clients on this year is a time to accumulate. But this is a time when prices have not started rising sharply again yet. And it's probably a good time to be accumulating both precious metals and precious metals equities because we do think that, you know, prices will rise in the next 5 to 7 years, sharply.
So, Jeff, just one more quick comment on some of these structural changes and the different investors that could come into the sector. Now there are so many different ETFs to play either the actual price of gold or to play a portfolio of gold companies that they're not as enticed to actually dive into whatever number it might be, these thousands of gold companies out there, and make their own active investments. Do you see this being a bit of a hamper for individual companies?
Definitely. The fact that you can avoid all of the management risk, country risk, operational risk, performance risk, reserve risks, by just going into an ETF is definitely a factor. And I think that because the mining share prices have underperformed, the argument against that is that you have a better beta. If gold prices rise, traditionally gold mining shares rise more. And a lot of that's diminished because of the bad performance of the stock prices over the last couple of years. So I think the mining industry is hard pressed to make that argument that yes, you can do the ETFs, but you'll get more bang for your buck if you choose mining companies. And it's a point that has been harder to make because of the bad performance of share prices over the last couple of years.
And I think on top of that, the poor performance of management teams as well, still draining the company of their funds, which unfortunately I don't see slowing down right now. Final comment though here, Jeff, and that deals with this overall bottoming process that it really looks like gold is putting in on that long-term monthly chart. Do you think, whether it's this year, next year, or 3 years out, that the breakout of this range that gold is traded in will be to the upside or to the downside?
I think it's to the upside. I mean, you know, our view is that gold prices rise this year, that they trade between, say, 1280 and 1380, 1400 over the course of 2019, that in 2020 they're somewhat higher, so they're trading between, say, maybe 1340 and 1480, and then at some point we think that the economic conditions and the budget deficits and the debt and the financial imbalances really cause economic ill-ease, which leads to a move upward in gold prices.
All right, there you have it from Jeff Christian. Have a great rest of your weekend, Jeff, and thanks again for your time.
Okay, great, thanks.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Many people believe they don't control their own destiny because they haven't chosen to take the first step towards the life they've always dreamed of. Let them continue just getting by while you make the choice to do something about your future. Imagine working from home, earning the income you deserve. Start small or dream big. Work part-time or full-time. You choose the pace. Just visit startlivingyoung.com. That's startlivingyoung.com. And click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Discover Juness, a state-of-the-art global health products company that spent 5 years on the Inc. 5,000 fastest-growing private companies in America list. With over $1 billion a year in sales, they'll provide all the tools you need to thrive and succeed. And you'll be blown away by how little it takes to get started. Visit startlivingyoung.com today and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab at the top of the page. 2019 will be the year your new life begins. Your destiny awaits at startlivingyoung.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump tweets his second summit with North Korea's Kim Jong-un is set for the 27th and 28th of February in Hanoi. He says, quote, "I look forward to seeing Chairman Kim and advancing the cause of peace." There are calls for impeachment for Virginia's lieutenant governor.
"I believe these women. He needs to resign immediately. Should the lieutenant governor fail to do so, on Monday, I intend to introduce articles of impeachment."
Patrick Hope, Democratic member of Virginia's House of Delegates, Two women have now come forward to accuse Justin Fairfax of sexual assault. Meanwhile, Virginia's embattled governor, Ralph Northam, is refusing to step down and says he is done defending his past after a racist photo was found on his med school yearbook page. You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments that I spent with Jeff Christian over at the CPM Group. In this segment, I am getting a company update from Osisko Metals. Osisko Metals is traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol OM, and I am chatting with the president and CEO, Jeff Hussey. Jeff, there's been a few news releases that came out just over the last 2 weeks. Something that Osisko Metals has consistently produced is some very nice drill results from two of your major properties. The first one I want to talk about is Pine Point. We saw some headline numbers of almost 15% zinc and lead over 12.74 meters. And one important aspect is that consistently, all of the results that you have been seeing from Pine Point are all pretty much at surface, all within 30 meters of surface. Can you break down what these recent drill results mean?
Yeah, thanks, Corey. Yes, at the end of January, we announced another intersection and some other four holes from the East Mill Zone. So just to be clear, the East Mill Zone is between 30, maybe down as far as 50 meters. It's our shallowest zone at Pine Point. Other areas like the Central Zone and North Zone go down to about 100 meters, so just for clarity. But the East Mill Zone is the best near-surface mineralization. 15% over 12 meters is high grade for that thickness. And so that was a great result to publish. We're still getting results from the drilling at the end of last year, the results coming in from the labs, and we're processing those and continuing to release them. We put out the resource, I think we discussed this last time, 38.4 million tons at about 6.6 zinc equivalent. And what we did is we incorporated, because we had to do a cutoff date back in September, the resource does include 20,000 meters of drilling, but we have an additional 40,000 meters to include into the next resource we do. This will help convert a large portion, the 60,000 meters in total, will help convert a large portion of that 38.4 million tons up into the indicated category when we use our surveying data, et cetera. So that's coming later this year. But what it does give us, the resource that we put out, the inferred resources, 5.5 billion pounds of zinc and lead, you know, prior to this, it was historical resources. It wasn't 43-101 compliant, so therefore in the market it has no value. So we said we would get a resource out. We did in December. We've now converted the historical resources into what we call a pit constrained, because we use a Whittle pit. It's a mining software to figure out what is able to be mined open in an open pit. So we got a high-grade, large tonnage resource that's throughout the property of near-surface mineralization, and it's important to point out why this is different, why it's unique amongst our peers. 90% of mine production for zinc is underground, yet some of the most profitable mines in the world, some of the biggest zinc mines, are the most profitable. So when you have near-surface zinc, it seems to be, as Cameco was known to be, a very profitable mining site. So that's what the resource tells us. And then when we put it into context, it's also worth noting why we're there. Most, like, we have low-cost hydroelectric power. The railhead's over at Hay River, about 60 kilometers away. So it allows us to rapidly advance the project. We don't have big infrastructure capital expenditures to incur, nor do we have to build them.
Well, and that's a key factor, too. Infrastructure always important, especially when you're talking about these type of resources. You said that 5.5 billion pounds of lead and zinc, so crucial to have infrastructure close by. There's also a figure within that news release that focused on that East Mill Zone, and it outlined all of these modeled pits from that 2018 resource. A quick question, what do you think about the potential, or is there a potential or even benefit to tying together some of these smaller pits with some of the larger pits, or does this not even really matter because everything is so close to surface?
I'd say your last comment is closer to the truth. These are shallow pits. Example in the East Mill Zone, there may be 10 of them that are within, what it'll look like will be a long trench. So you'll go down, you'll get that mineralization throughout that deposit, a couple of hundred meters wide, a couple of hundred meters long, and then there may be an area where at that elevation, there isn't any mineralization or anything economic. So we would just ramp out of that pit and ramp back down. So it'll look like a big trench at the end, interconnecting pits, if you will. But at this point, we are identifying each of those deposits as a singular pit. But some of them will connect. It will not be the big circular or elliptical pits that go down at depth and you have to move a lot of dirt. Here, the ratio, the strip ratio that we put in the resource was about 7.7. But we left one deposit in that was actually, it should be mined underground, and it generated an enormous amount of waste. When you look at taking that deposit out and mine it conventionally as underground, the strip ratio comes down to about 5.3, which is much more reasonable. And that's what we'll be dealing with at the Pine Point site.
Okay. And then just remember, too, that as you outlined in that news release, that Osisko Metals is the only junior in the Americas with a pit-constrained inferred resource of 5.5 billion pounds. But you also have this other project, Key Anacon, where you have released recent news just this week. The headline numbers, just over 12.5% zinc and lead, over 20 meters. This project doesn't have a resource around it yet. So you do have one coming up, don't you?
Yeah, so again, just to clarify, there is a historical estimate of the main zone that is on file at the government in New Brunswick. It was basically what was known. Back in the 50s and 60s, they actually dropped a 460-meter shaft. They had 8 sublevels. They put in a ventilation raise, and they drilled off that main zone quite tightly, and that's what was left on the shelf. There was essentially no work done for 60 years. Noranda, the company I used to work for, had a couple of JVs. They did a number of holes, but the exploration was kind of sporadic. There was Rio Algum and Noranda, and no one really found enough and did not update that resource estimate. So we went in and we started drilling around these intersections, and we're seeing sizable deposits of mineralization. So that's what we've been drilling off. We drilled about 22,000 meters in the Bathurst, at Kianakon, 40,000 in the camp, but 22 just at Kianakon. And so we just came out with that intersection. Yeah, so this was in order to do the resource, we have to go back into where there is mineralization and duplicate an area. And this was one of the ones that needed duplication, so we're just reporting that in preparation. We hope to get the mineral resource estimate out here in Q1, and as soon as possible, we're working on it right now to get that out.
Now, there's also another aspect of that intersection that has a silver component, and quite a high-grade silver component, 185 grams per ton, again, over that 20 meters. Now, it wasn't consistent across the board, those type of silver results, but there was another hole, 28, that had 132 grams per ton. What's the importance of this silver component?
Well, locally, it's very high grade. I'd say, well, we'll see when we get the resource out, when it's all averaged out. But you usually get a couple ounces of silver in the ore in the Bathurst camp, depending on which deposit. There's potential here to get a little bit higher, but locally, you do get some very high grades. At the same token, what you're trying to see is that the zinc and the lead combined, we always quote it as zinc plus lead for simplicity, that it'd be north of 10%, and you want mineable widths. While here you got 12.6%, and you got 20 meters. So that's the kind of, that's the heart of the zone that you want, where you can get substantial tons for less.
Yeah, all right. Well, you guys continue to be very active. Jeff, I appreciate you taking some time this weekend and updating all of our listeners on what Osisko Metals is up to and what they all can expect. Thanks again for your time, Jeff. Have a great rest of your weekend.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens, and we're proud to promote amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Visit GCNLife.com for products like Luminesse. The Luminesse anti-aging skincare line restores youthful vitality and radiance to your skin, reducing the appearances of fine lines and wrinkles with stem cell technology. There's also Instantly Ageless, which works within 2 minutes, reducing under-eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, and pores. Jeunesse has products to help you with how you look and feel in a very short time. Nobel-nominated Dr. Vincent Giampapa has designed several products helping the body perform better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and they're available up to a 25% preferred price discount. See all of the amazing Jeunesse products at GCNLife.com or call toll-free 1-844-443-6637. 1-844-443-6637.
Detoxify, lose weight, and restore balance to your body by simply drinking tea. Surprised? Dr. Miller's Holy Tea can help you feel better and even lose weight. Because Holy Tea is a unique herbal tea blend of all natural ingredients specially formulated by Dr. Bill Miller. Call this number, 888-660-7039, or click drmillersclinic.com. Take the first step toward better health. Drink tea from Dr. Miller's Clinic.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen
Come
here.
Come on, lady. Get a move on.
Goodness.
Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Ooh.
Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes, Mimi. Such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the
group? Hey, pal, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
He hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop this senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
Welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition. We're going to shift a little bit away from the metals and resource sector and talk more with Mike Larson. Mike writes the Safe Money Report. You can also follow Mike on Twitter at RealMikeLarson. Mike joins me every couple weeks for more of a generalist look at what's going on in the markets. And it's interesting because just this, well, today, actually on Saturday, Mike is presenting at the Money Show in Orlando. And we are talking about what his presentation is on. And it is more about where he thinks you can safely invest in still this environment where the argument can be made there is this Uber bubble sitting out there. Mike, can you break down some of the high-level points of where you do see some of still the opportunities and safety investments?
Sure. You know, like you mentioned, I'll be talking to investors today and looking at what's going on in the markets from a broader perspective. And I think what's really interesting is we've had this big rally, which a lot of people have talked about, like, oh my gosh, the S&P and Dow are up sharply in January and early February, which is true. But, the flip side of that is that we were down incredibly sharply and lost so much ground in December that all we've done when you net it all out is tread water. I mean, we're exactly, right now, we're trading roughly around where we were in early December. So we had panic and euphoria in the span of 2 months, but ultimately went nowhere. I think this kind of speaks to the overall market environment being much more volatile than it was in the prior several years. We came through an extraordinary period of extremely low interest rates, extreme policy certainty, whether you're talking about political certainty or economic and monetary certainty. To now we're in this environment where, people are running from one side of the boat to the other in record short amounts of time. And, again, that leads to sort of, really bad decisions if investors aren't prepared for it and don't know how to navigate these choppier seas. We had our hands held for us by central banks for so long that I think investors have sort of lost that muscle memory of how to actually invest and trade in a market where it takes more than just policy pronouncements to drive trading activity. So with that being said, my message is going to be that we're still in an environment where, and I've been saying it for a year, we're still in an environment where we have to be more cautious, more conservative, have higher levels of cash, and look for gains in sectors and stocks that aren't talked about on TV every day and that aren't as popular as the investments that used to work between sort of 2014, 15, 16, 17, and the beginning of 18. By that, I mean things like, utilities, dividend-paying stocks, real estate investment trusts if they're in the right sectors and so on. Those are the kinds of companies that I think still offer you some opportunity in this market and that give you some downside protection from yield and from their defensive nature. These are the kinds of companies that can still generate earnings and sales even if the economy takes a turn for the worse. So, that's kind of what I've been preaching for a while now. What's interesting, especially in this market rally, is that it's being led by a very odd group of stocks. Historically, and especially, before we had the market start to top out in early 2018, it was technology, it was FANG, it was all those very popular kind of companies, while everything else was pretty much falling by the wayside. in this rally, when I look at our Weiss ratings data and just sort of analyze the character of this rally objectively, what I'm saying is three groups tend to lead it: gold miners and REITs, and then technology. It's the weirdest sort of mix of stock sectors to be leading that I've seen in a long, long time. I mean, you typically buy gold and gold miners when you're looking for protection from chaos in the market and increased volatility. You typically buy things like REITs because they offer you dividend protection against downside risk and can still generate earnings, again, even in a riskier economy. But you would buy technology stocks when you're extremely confident about growth and the ability of these companies to kind of, you know, grow into very extended valuations. So how the heck can you have all three of those groups rallying at the same time? It's very odd. You throw in things like low volume on this rally and the fact that we're extremely late in the economic and credit cycle, and it still is a suspect rally to me. When I first sort of flipped from being extremely bullish to being relatively bearish and defensive, that was in the sort of February-March timeframe of 2018, the stock market's basically exactly where it was back then now. So anybody who listened to me hasn't really lost anything at all by being cautious. And in fact, if you're in some of these sectors like REITs, if you're in some of the sectors like utilities, you've made a decent chunk of money. You know, the XLU ETF in the U.S. is up about 16% in the last year. The XLK, which is the technology ETF, is up about 7.5% in the last year. So you've made twice the money you could have made in technology, which they talk about every single day on TV, in defensive utility stocks.
So this is actually something that you and I have been talking about for a number of months now, is needing to be more selective and picking more of these defensive sectors. But as you said, there's these defensive sectors, but then there's also tech, which has been getting money coming into it. Do you think that is only going to be kind of a short-term bump? Maybe some of these more aggressive investors still trying to seek out some yield, but when they look back on it, whether it's in a month or at the end of this first quarter, they're going to realize that even though they might have some gains there, they're still missing out on much larger gains in some of these more defensive sectors?
I think if you're focused, you're overly focused on technology and you're trying to chase these big short-term rallies, I think you're going to be sorry. I think that what's happened in the technology space is that these stocks became wildly overowned, overloved, overvalued, and especially when you look at some of these garbage IPOs that have been coming out in the technology space. I mean, we have more tech IPOs coming right now, or in the last year, coming public. More of those companies are losing money in terms of not having any profits in the year or two before their IPOs, even than we saw at the peak of the dot-com bubble. So you have a bunch of lousy stocks that are able to get money in this market because too much money is flowing into technology. You have a lot of private tech companies that want to go public this year at absolutely ridiculous dot-com era valuations. Some companies, even some of these bigger ones that you talk about, I mean, Uber, we all use its services and so on, but it hasn't made a penny of operating profits on an annual basis in 10 years of operation. How do we know if it's even a real business? We don't. So I think that a lot of this risk and a lot of this behavior, just throwing money at technology stocks, ignoring the lessons of 20 years ago, I think it's a lot of risk in that part of the market. You don't have that cushion from yield. You don't have that valuation cushion for sure. And you have a lot of business risk, especially if I'm right and we're very late in this economic cycle. One thing that hasn't gotten talked a lot about is that banks, from some of the data from the Fed itself and from some of the data from the bankers' trade groups, the data shows that delinquencies are starting to rise fairly notably and credit availability is starting to get tighter. There's a great report that comes out from the Fed every quarter that looks at banks, and just they go out there and they ask, hey, are you being more willing to make loans? If you are you seeing more or less demand? Are you charging people more to borrow and so on? They had one thing that looked at the cost of basically the spreads, how much extra interest you're charging somebody to borrow, a commercial borrower. The reading there was the highest since 2010. So banks are getting stingier with money. If you look at the data from the American Bankers Association on loan delinquencies, the consumer loan delinquency rate averaged over 8 different kinds of loans is the highest since 2013, 6 years ago. So really, you're in a situation where we certainly are not in a recessionary environment yet, But these types of things that are happening, banks getting less willing to make loans, more consumers defaulting on their loans and so on, that's what you see at the tail end of an economic expansion and what you tend to see as you're heading into a bear market. So, again, I don't see anything in this rally that changes my opinion of where we are in the cycle. And I think you want to be more defensive. I mean, it doesn't mean you can't find select opportunities here and there, but it means you have to be more selective. You can't just throw money at these tech stocks they talk about every 5 minutes on TV and think you're going to make money in a sustainable basis.
So just to wrap us up, Mike, where does that leave the U.S. dollar then? I do agree that more people should be in cash and be ready to inject that money if we do get some sort of even more major or severe pullback. But you look at other countries around the world, too, and their currencies also struggling, a lot of issues that we're seeing in their market. Do you see the U.S. dollar being that also kind of safety play?
You know, I've said for a long time that even though it's not the historical pattern, I think both the dollar and gold can go up roughly in tandem as risk-off safety-type plays. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. If you look, like you mentioned, some of these other countries are in a lot worse shape. The Australian Central Bank, just in the last several hours, last day or two, suggested that it might get more dovish, so the Aussie dollar is getting smacked on that. The euro can't seem to get off its downward trend against the dollar. It's been declining for some time because their economy is in very worse shape. You know, so there's a lot of problems elsewhere in the world. So I think by default, you know, the U.S. dollar might actually continue to rally. But I think that might actually happen in tandem with the rise in gold, because I think gold, again, is being purchased as protection, chaos insurance, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, really, if you look at since sort of the August, the summer period, the U.S. dollar has been rallying since last May, June, and gold has been rallying since, you know, July, August timeframe. So they're already that thesis is already kind of playing out where both gold and the dollar are rising in tandem. And I think that's likely to be the case, you know, for some time going forward.
All right, Mike, always great having you on the show. I hope that you do have a great money show in Orlando. And for everybody, I do thank you for tuning in to the first hour of this weekend show. Please keep in touch with me, fleck@kereport.com. Any of the companies that I interview or any companies that you think I should be reaching out to and having on the show or at least talking to them, please let me know. I love getting emails from everybody. Hey, Mike, have a great rest of your weekend. Thanks again for your time today.
Thank you.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you, too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.